All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Slow Pitch, and I see Lane on the other side. What's happening, Lane?
I don't even know how to answer that one, Rob. Too much and not enough.
Too much and not enough. Well, that's a good thing. So I know we got an email today. What do we got? What is it about?
Yeah, Rob, so Monica reached out. She's a relatively new salesperson and suffering with quite a bit of stress from her role, and she's wanting to know if this is going to be her life.
It probably will, but so you're saying she's getting a little bit of pressure. She feels the pressure of the job.
She's feeling some pressure. More than a little.
I'm sure she's not the only one out there that has that. Let's talk about it.
You're listening to the Slow Pitch Podcast, a podcast about selling less and closing more.
All right, Lane, you want to talk about pressure?
Yeah, so Monica contacted us. She says she's an inside sales rep for an electronics manufacturer, and she's just started her second year in the job. No previous sales experience, but she got into sales because, shocker, her friend was making a lot of money, and she wanted to make that money too.
Well, you can make a lot of money in sales. That's true.
You definitely can. She's having a real hard time with the mental aspect of the job, though. She says she gets really stressed out about quotas and putting out different fires all the time, that she's actually having physical panic attacks, resorting to self-medicating just to keep functioning and doing her job. No fun.
No.
So while she says she's enjoying the benefits of making good money, going on trips and the like, she still just feels buried by the pressure all the time and worried that she's not going to hit her goals and is going to get fired. She's wanting to know how we can help her deal with the constant pressure and if this is going to be the rest of her life, because if it is, she's probably not sticking around in sales.
Well, that is an interesting question. And what are your initial thoughts after reading all of that? Just basic, what's your reaction?
Man, I really feel for it, man. You want to do a good job. You want to close the sales. You want to make the money. That I definitely a lot of pressure. But I'm wondering what's going on as to why she's feeling so much pressure, is getting the panic attacks. Something's not right there.
Definitely not right. I think my initial feeling of hearing this was, first of all, what's causing that? Like, why is there so much pressure? Is it from her work? Like, I mean, from her boss, from somebody else internally in the business?
Yep.
Is it in her own head? Like, if it's in her own head, that's one thing. Like, and I don't mean to sound insensitive, but if it's in your head, there's things you can do to deal with that. That's one thing. If it's external, meaning somebody's doing that to you, there are some things you can do to alleviate that as well. So let's talk about both of those to me. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good.
So I think internally, if you're dealing with this internally, let's start there, because to me, that's the most likely culprit. I think if I think back to my beginning of sales days, I felt pressure to, you know, all the business has to come from me if there's nobody else selling.
Right.
I'm the only one, right? There's nobody else out there who's making this happen. So now I've got to perform. And one way or the other, you get this pressure feeling of, what do I do? What if I don't sell this? And guess what? When you're sitting in a sales meeting and you're feeling, well, what happens if I don't sell this?
Yeah.
I bet the potential buyer knows that you're under pressure. They can feel it.
They can feel it, yep.
Yeah, because you start to say things that you don't really want to say. You don't want to come across a certain way, but you do, whether you like it or not, right? So that's one thing, I think, is when you walk into a sales meeting, if you have these pressure feelings, ask yourself, number one, why is it that I'm feeling this way? Is it because I'm the only one bringing business in, or I have to hit a number for myself in order to make ends meet for my own life, my own lifestyle, just to pay the bills, whatever it might be? That's a little bit of a problem, because you know that's a pressure that's real. It's not like you can just forget it. You know, just like, yeah, it's not a big deal. It's a real pressure, right? So I think, but if you're walking into a business, the issue becomes having that feeling when you walk into that business. You're going to want to make sure that feeling doesn't get brought out in your meeting. So there's a couple little things you need to probably do. Before you walk into a meeting, sit in your car, or before you hop on a call, before you do anything with that meeting, just beforehand, I think it's really helpful to sit quietly and think to yourself, I would love to have this sale, but if I don't get it, what happens? If I don't get this one sale, I got other sale possibilities. If I don't get this one sale, what's the big deal?
Right.
It's in the big grand scheme of thing, it's not, right? You could probably say there's other leads that you're working towards, that's fine. I've got others. So build on that a little bit. And that other question might be, what does your pipeline look like? If your pipeline is really thin, that pressure grows quickly. It's almost exponential.
Yep.
If you have 100 leads, you have 10 leads, there's quite a difference. And that's where the problem, I think, starts to show up. So if you're not getting the leads, if you're not finding your leads, that's one other area you can start to focus on. The other thing is, I think if you're, you know, we sit there quietly thinking to yourself, I'd love to have this, but it's not that important if I do, because if I miss it, I miss it. I've got other possible leads that I could close. Think about that and just know that it's going to be okay. Second thing is what's the worst case in the grand scheme of things, any day of the week where you feel that pressure? If I miss a sale, is it a big deal? If I miss two sales, is it a big deal? If I miss three sales, and keep counting until it makes where it is a big deal. That number is probably pretty high because you're having meetings and leads and all these other things happening. It's more than you think that if you miss one sale, it's probably not that big of a deal. If it's a huge sale, sure. Okay, fine. But even that, you have to think to yourself, all right, if I don't get this one big sale, let's break it down. What if I had three third size sales? Is that good?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be just as good, right? So there's different ways to look at it and just dice it up to yourself that way, right? But let's go back to the bigger problem, which is you're feeling this because you don't have enough of a pipeline. And a little bit goes to having a plan. I know we put out an episode not too long ago, and we put out an episode last year about the 12-week year and measuring all of the pieces and all of the things you're supposed to be doing on a monthly, weekly, and daily basis that is going to get you where you need to be. So if my assumption is that Monica has not created here's what I need for the year. I need to hit this number for the year. Let's just make it a round number. Let's make it $100 or $100,000. Doesn't matter. I don't care. If it's 100 and I know I'm going to break it into four quarters, I need 25 every quarter, right? And then what does that break down per day or per week? And now it's a little bit more manageable. It's bite size. And what's the average sale size that you need to have per sale? So if you have one that's bigger, you actually get to get less sales, quantity number, right? Versus the dollar of beef. So if you sell a good size sale, you just knocked off a couple of smaller sales. If you only sell really small stuff and then you have to get more bigger ones to offset that, that's where there's a little more pressure. So sometimes it's easier going after the low hanging fruit. Sometimes it's not. But make sure that you're focused on quantity of sales, not the dollar amount, and then make sure that they all add up together. And then the other piece of that is just knowing what you're supposed to be doing every day to get you a lead and to get you a sale. You know, it goes back to some of the stuff we talked about in the 12-week year. Is it networking that you have to do to get your leads? Are the leads fed to you? Can you get leads outside of that? Can you get referrals? What are the ways that you're going to bring in leads so that you can multiply the number of leads you actually have coming in and make it so that it's worth you looking at saying, I got a whole bunch of stuff going on here. Something's going to close. I mean, it's not that nothing will ever close. It's going to relieve a little bit of pressure because at some point you're going to be running so fast going meeting, 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 meeting. And then you'll find some people that actually have the pain and actually have the need, and you'll be able to close those a lot easier than the rest of them, right?
Yep.
If you think about measuring numbers, what are your thoughts about some of the more important numbers that she should be kind of going after or measuring? What do you think some of those are?
I'm wondering if she's tracking how many other companies she's talking to on a weekly or monthly basis that are also talking to her clients to try to come up with some partnerships.
Yeah, that's actually a really good one, because if you think about it, anytime you're partnering with somebody who sees the same types of clients you do, there's just a natural fit. So what, you know, if she's an electrical engineer manufacturing company that's seeing a certain type of client, and that could be construction companies, that could be, who knows what that kind of, I mean, it's kind of a generic statement of what she does or what she's selling. But when she gets into conversations with companies that also see those same types of buyers, there's almost always referrals that go on. It happens all day, every day. And if she is not having those phone calls, those meetings every week, then she's missing the opportunity to be laying some groundwork. The one thing I think a lot of people don't understand is sales is not an immediate thing. It's not what you see is the sale happening, right? But they don't. A lot of people don't see the all the stuff that goes in before the sale. It's like,
yeah, there's a lot of work.
It's, yeah, it's tons of work. All the stuff happens on behind the background, in the behind the scenes, in the background, and nobody even recognizes. Nobody knows that that's happening. And by the time the sale happens, it's like, oh wow, look at that. Look at that. They just happened to walk in at the right time. No, they worked hard at it. It's been it's been months and maybe years to get there, right?
Yep.
So that's the kind of stuff that I would be looking at and measuring, because if you're looking at it from a 12-week year or just a daily grind of what you need to be doing, then figure out those things that make you more effective at getting in front of the right people. And sometimes it's not the actual customer or client that you want to talk to. It's people that are related to and who talk to those people that will get you that. But really what you're doing by setting up this plan of daily, weekly, monthly for the quarter, you end up with really no surprises. So her pressure that she's having or feeling of, I'm going to miss my sales goal for the month, you should know that by 7 days in or the end of the first week. You'll know, right? And guess what? You got 3 weeks left. I mean, nothing better than I have 3 weeks. I'm behind now, but I got three weeks is a long time. You can do a lot of cold calling. You can do a lot of meetings in 3 weeks. You can make a lot of things happen in 3 weeks. And guess what? If you do that and you're good at it and you start putting those 3 weeks together and making it happen, guess what happens? The next month is even better because you've done way more stuff already than you used to. Yep. And the next month, all of a sudden, you're going to have all these meetings and you're not going to know what to do with yourself. That's the key, is getting ahead of it rather than just doing things every day that you think you're supposed to be doing that's not really driving you the numbers. If you're not measuring and knowing that this is what's causing it, then you're not going to get the sale.
Yeah. And you may end up down a little bit 1 month, but the next month, all the efforts you put in last month may suddenly pay off, and you end up 2 months ahead based on what you close next month.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what ends up happening. So I just think it has to do with your own internal attitude. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean that I don't really need this sale. There's all these other leads going on. And you fix that by doing these measurement pieces along the way and all these tasks and all these things that you end up doing along the way that get you in front of all the people that you need to get in front of so that you don't have to be scrambling all the time every week or every month, every quarter, or whatever that might be. Yeah. That's internal. Let's talk about external. How do you manage your boss barking down your neck all the time?
Yeah, that's a little more difficult.
It can be. Have you ever had a boss that's micromanaged you? I know I have.
Yeah, I've had a boss. You get clients that try to micromanage you. Yeah. So it's you always have that, and it's always, I don't know. For me, it's usually gently telling them to back off and let me do my job. But
yeah,
that's easier said than done sometimes.
So yeah, sometimes, especially when you're dealing with a boss. One time I had a boss tell me, he taught me how to manage up, and he gave me a glimpse of, a little bit weird because he was teaching me this and I was like, why is he telling me this? And then I realized, oh, first of all, I'm not doing that for him so that he knows. But second, he ended up getting moved to another area in the company. And so he was telling me this because he's like, hey, listen, you're going to need some help with this. If you don't do this next time, you're going to be in trouble. So I listened to what he said. And basically what he said was if you're going to manage up, what you need to do is get ahead of your boss. And by doing that, it is things like, you know, for example, if it's Monica and her boss comes in and says, where are we at with sale? Where are you at with your numbers? Where are you at? Instead of waiting for your boss to come to you, maybe there's a time for you to come to her or him and say, all right, my goal today is to make this many calls, have this many meetings with, or whatever that might be, right? And by the end of this week, I should have this many. And if I can't get that to happen, I'll know that I'm just about even where I should be. If I hit that goal, I'm going to be ahead of for the month for what I should be going to be able to get to sale at the end of the month, for whatever that number is, or it could be the quarter, whatever, however you're going to phrase that, that makes sense for your numbers. But basically what you're telling your boss is, here's my plan. Here's what I think will happen if I hit my plan. Here's what happens if I'm short. And make sure that if you're short of the plan, what your plan is, you're still hitting the goal that they're expecting you to hit, right? Yeah, like that's, so if you're supposed to hit 10 sales for the week or the month or whatever it is, and your conversation says, listen, if I hit my goal that I think I'm supposed to be hitting, I should be a little bit above goal. If I just miss it, I'm still going to be okay. I'm going to hit the goal. okay, now that's good conversation.
Yeah.
I actually have to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the piece. But if you're serious about being in sales, that grind is not so hard if you know that this is just the things you have to do every day. And it's going to be a lot of talking to people, a lot of getting meetings set up, and a lot of time spent doing these meetings. But when you start doing all those things, everything starts to happen. Everything starts to move quickly. And when times are really good, it's really easy. When times are tough, it's a little more difficult. But once you identify who has, here's the other key, I will say this. Once you start to line up meetings and you start to pre-qualify, so to speak, whether or not they're really going to be a good meeting or not, find out how much pain, if they have any, because if they have any pain, great. If they don't have any pain, why meet? Why don't you just make it a conversation and let me check back with you in 6 months and see how things are going? Because, you know, it sounds like you guys are fine. And you do that with your 30-second commercial. And that was one of our first episodes.
Yes,
it was. How to do a 30-second commercial. And by the way, that is probably one of our most listened to episode, because a lot of people need help with that. And they're all looking for, how do I do this the right way? And to recap it, and I would suggest going back to it, but to recap it, it really comes down to finding out if they have a need based on what pain you share. So in your commercial, you're going to talk about a pain that's possible for them. 1, 2, or 3. I talk to people that have pain X, pain Y, pain Z, and you're going to phrase it in such a way that's, you know, they're frustrated with this and they're struggling with that or angry because whatever that might be, that might spark something with them to go, tell me more. Yeah, we should probably talk. You got somebody then that's at least somewhat interested. Now it's, you got to vet it some more, but that was what the conversation was like in that first episode. And you have to do that all the time when you're reaching out to these new people. Once you find that they have the pain, you start to have those meetings. You'll start to line up your pipeline so full, you're going to have to try to eliminate some people. I have, trust me on this, if you do this right and you do this grind every day, after a while, you have to stop doing some of the grind because you're going to have too much. And at some point, you're going to have to eliminate some people in your pipeline sooner. And sometimes you're going to have to eliminate people as you get going and they're in the pipeline. You're going to go, this one is not serious. They're just pulling me along. And it's hard because you got to figure out, is this an S pulling me along and they're going to buy? Or is this, and for those of you that don't know what an S is, go back to one of our kind of how to sell to an S personality on the disc. You know, is that what that is or not? And, or is this a real person that's just pulling me along for no reason, right? So any other thoughts on external from your boss? Is there anything else that we could cover?
So Rob, what if your sales goal is just plain too high? It's unattainable.
Well, says you.
Yeah, says I, not my boss, yes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that happens. And sometimes they are a little high. I mean, we've all been there where you've got goals that are like, okay, this is a little bit ridiculous, but maybe there's a reason. So how do you deal with your boss? Again, this goes back to managing up. So what would be, and think of it in terms of sales, sell them by selling them by asking the questions. So what questions would you ask if your boss said, here's your goal, and you think that's way too high after spending some time doing it?
How did you come up with that number?
Yeah, I'm curious. Where did this number come from? Just because I have no idea. I'm newer here. Help me so that I can get to feel what that's like and what that's from. I mean, there must be a reason. And the boss may say, I have no idea. That's just the number they gave me. It could happen. It's unlikely.
That's the number we need to make to hit our revenue targets.
Yeah, and that's more than likely the answer, right? So they might, listen, this is what it takes. We have to have this number from you. Every person has their number. And again, it's based on past performance, but also on where you should be based on what you're as a new person could be able to do or should be able to do, blah, 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 blah. Okay. If that's the case, and that's what they set for a new person in that role, then you need to think about, as I'm a new person, I should be able to hit this. What do I need to do? And back it all up through the numbers. And then I would ask your boss, just help me work through this because I don't want to take a lot of time. I just want to make sure how many of these, how many of this, how many of that, how many calls, how many meetings, how many, whatever that might be to back into to get to that number, just so I can start to plan based on your numbers in this organization and what you've heard and seen. Because I think I know the number, but I don't have the experience that you guys have. You guys have data sets that I don't have no access to.
I'm thinking, you know, maybe where are all these leads going to come from? What's the company doing to help me get these leads? The company has expecting a huge pipeline. They've got to help you find someone who's willing to fill that pipeline.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's the other thing is, okay, you've given me this number. How are you guys helping me get there? Because if it's just me having to go get it, all right, I need some help trying to figure that out. I know I got the job because I've had some experience, but this is a different product. This is something I'm not quite understanding where and how this process works with you guys. Everything's a little, just walk me through it so I get it. And they may give you a bunch of information that's helpful and they may not. And if they don't, okay, you need to probably talk to one of your coworkers and say, this is what you guys have gotten for you. I don't know what your number is, but it doesn't really matter. My goal is at a number. Where do you get all these leads? How does this work? Help me.
Yeah. Yeah. What's marketing doing to bring the leads in? Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever that is, start working through that and asking those questions because that'll make a big difference for you to understand it. And half the time, understanding where the numbers came from is one thing. And then if your boss knows that you're asking those questions, it shows that you have an interest in making sure that you're doing your part. And I think that's the managing up part, in that you're trying to be proactive. You're trying to make sure that you learn all the aspects of the business and why you're doing what you're doing. I think any good manager, leader would understand and knows that that's the right thing that somebody who cares about the business should be doing, right? So that hopefully that would help people who are running into that number where the number feels too high. The other thing to know is that sometimes when you're new, it's just a guess, you know, based on data, and you may not be able to do that. I think I would go back to, I've heard of salespeople who, you know, hit a sales number and they're like, I can't believe I hit this number. And there's this self-limiting piece that goes into play, which is like, oh, I can never sell $1 million worth of business. And the reality is, yeah, you can, but you're telling yourself you can't. Or I could never sell this product, this service for $20,000. It's not worth it. Well, yes, you can. If the pain is there, the need is there, and it's worth the value of what you're selling, you're not scamming people. It's the real value of this. And when you turn around and they use what you've sold them for $20,000 and they can make money and make $200,000 every year on that $20,000 purchase, it's worth the $20,000. You shouldn't be ashamed of it. But sometimes there's that self-limiting piece. So there's a lot of aspects that go into this thing with Monica that we could dive into one thing after another. But
yep.
I think the piece that we should all remember is, one, is it internal? Is it between your two ears? Is it just in your head? Because if it is, that's okay. There's things you can do to get around that. I think you need to work with your manager. And I think you should ask yourself the question, what happens if I miss a sale? What's the worst case? How many times can I miss a sale? And what's my plan? How am I planning my workload to get to where I can be, not worrying about daily or weekly numbers? It's just stuff's coming at me all the time. And then the other thing is, if it's external, how do you deal with that? And if you're not sure how to deal with some of your external stuff, your boss managing up and those kinds of things, start to do some research on that. Just, you know, there's audio podcasts on managing up. I know there's, whether it's audiobooks or books that you can look at and read and listen to that just, you know, they'll help you understand how to manage up. Those types of things are very valuable when you're in a corporation. If you're a small business and you're like, I got this daily grind of trying to get new business, it's tough. That's welcome to the real world. That's the right. That's the way it is all day long. But it's the same. It's the same. Set your daily, weekly, monthly goals. Make it happen. And it's not the sale that's the goal. It's the activities that are the goal. Any other comments from you, Lane?
Nothing else for the peanut gallery.
All right. Well, hopefully that helps everybody. And until next time, slow down and close more.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Slow down and close more.
Thanks as always for listening today. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at The Slow Pitch. We were mixed today, as always, by Johnny Palakis, and we were produced by High Gravity Studios. Music credits and other notes are in the show notes section on theslowpitch.com. and we'll be back with another episode soon.